Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing? I mean, nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and welcome to Dave the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Program, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grief process. You know, with roughly 100 million caregivers in the U.S. and Canada alone, that's about a third of the population. That means that everyone probably knows someone caring for a loved one. Join Dave and his guests now and every Wednesday at noon Pacific time as they discuss avoiding caregiver burnout and surviving grief. So find a comfortable place to relax, kick up your feet, and prepare to feel better and to receive practical tips and tools that you can start using immediately to get you through today and every day so you can survive your tomorrows. But not just survive, but to live life fully and abundantly. Yes, you heard me right. That is a possible goal to achieve. And now, here's your host, Dave Nassani. And from Los Angeles, a big LA welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I'm Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver, coming to you live globally through the famous Blog Talk Radio Network, as well as YouTube and iTunes and podcast.com and blueberry.com and Stitcher Radio. And of course, our website, caregiverscaregiver.com. Since I'm Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver. Easy to remember, huh? Yes, folks, I am the guy who's going to help you and guide you through this very difficult journey called caregiving. And not only that, but we're going to do our very best to help you avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout. Now, we have an exciting show planned for you today with my lovely co-host, Adrian Gruberg, founder of the Caregiver Space. We have with us Yvonne Dunlap. And I don't think she's a relation to the tire company, but she's an amazing, I'm an auto mechanic, so that's like an inside joke, okay. Amazing caregiver who has an amazing caregiver, I'll let her explain it. So stay tuned, you do not want to miss this interview. And if you are new to this interview, like many, many new people are since we've gone video, I'm your host, Dave Nassani, and this show is caregivers of every kind. And the one thing we know about caregivers is that they are very caring and they're very selfless and they're very sacrificial. All great qualities, right? But yeah, all those qualities tend to make a person very prone to burnout because they tend to put everyone else's needs above their own. You know, they give and they give and they give until there's nothing left to give, and then they become as sick as the person they're caring for. Not good. We should learn a lesson from the airlines. You know, they say in the event of emergency, put your own oxygen mask on first before you help your loved one with their mask. Remember them saying that? And why do they tell us that? Because it sounds like the most selfish thing a parent could do, right? Because they know that if we don't put our needs above the needs of our loved ones, that they will most likely black out and then they won't be any good to anybody with anything. And caregivers are exactly like that, aren't they? Yes, they are. Now, we also talk about grief and loss here and the devastating effects it can have on us. It automatically throws us into this other thing called the grief process. Ouch. And unfortunately, folks, there's only one way out of the grief process. I wish it weren't so, but it is. You got to go through it. You can't go around it, over it, under it. You got to go through it. No shortcuts. So hopefully we can help you through your grief and your loss if you happen to feel like, you know, you're kind of stuck. And just a reminder, you can listen to all our interviews, including the one we're doing today afterwards. They are recorded. You just go to our website, caregiverscaregiver.com, and that's caregivers with an S and caregiver without an S.com. And while you're there, take our short quiz to see if you're a candidate for burnout. Very valuable quiz, and it's free. And just for doing that, in addition to helping you, I'm going to send you my first book that I wrote absolutely free, One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships. My wife's amazing story of surviving a devastating stroke that robbed her of her speech and paralyzed her right side. I mean, she's an amazing person with an amazing attitude that makes us normal people just look like whiners and complainers, including me. All right, enough of that. Yvonne, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for agreeing to this interview today. I really, really appreciate it.
Hi.
Hi.
Yes, I'm here. And hi.
Yvonne's from England, so she'll sound a little more sophisticated than us. But Yvonne, why don't you take a minute or two and introduce yourself? Just who is Yvonne Dunlap?
Well, I'm just a caregiver, HHA, working with CNAs, and I've been doing that for 7 years here in Florida. And I found a lot of paid caregivers also suffer burnout, the same as family caregivers. And I wanted to somehow help people hire caregivers for a cheaper rate than agencies charge. So we formed a community. We find our own clients. We try to work a steady amount of hours, but not too many. And that way, everyone benefits, both the patient, the client, and the caregiver. We should all have a quality of life.
Now that's, can you hear me?
Yes.
That's an amazing business model. I'm having trouble hearing myself. Let me know if you guys can't hear me. Seems like I'm cutting in and out. But an amazing business model because, is that good, Adrian? Better? Okay. Because, I was looking over your website. Your rates are very, very reasonable, very affordable. And the few times that I've been contacting you, it's been in between, oh my gosh, I've got this thing, I've got 17 caregivers that are burned out, and I've got to switch their shifts with somebody else, otherwise they're going to be no good. And I mean, you are just hands on, and it is so rare to see anybody in the caregiver industry take this to heart as much as I've seen you do it, because you really do care about these people. And there's a myth out there that paid caregivers aren't as, compassionate, or they're just doing it for the paycheck. But, as we both know, I've spoken to many, many paid caregivers who take their job very seriously and take it to heart. And when their loved one or their care receiver dies, I mean, they go into depression because it was like their mother died. Isn't that right?
Yes, absolutely. But that's another thing I say. You have to try to use a nurse as a role model. They can be compassionate and professional both.
Right.
There's a line where you don't have to drop into the emotional drama if you can remain somewhat detached in a professional way, as well as giving your heart. I mean, it's a fine line to walk between.
Yes. And Adrian, I see you down there. I forgot to say hello and welcome to the show. Why don't you see if you have anything you want to ask Yvonne with this very interesting business model that she has?
Do you plan on being in more places than just Florida? Oh,
Yes.
no. No. To be hands
No.
on, I'd have to be hands on. I can't reach that far.
We can franchise this business model. I mean, this is
Sure.
what caregivers need. It costs about $30 an hour to hire a caregiver from a place. I'm not going to mention names,
Right.
but that's pretty typical. And
Yeah.
the poor caregiver probably gets half of that if she gets half of that, and the
Exactly.
agency gets the other half. So, I mean, in some states, I guess $15 an hour would be considered minimum wage now. How is it that since your rates are so reasonable, can your caregivers kind of live on that? Because it is,
Okay, I've got a good
it's
answer
a
to this
double-edged
one.
sword. Okay, I'd love to hear it.
It's a very specific plan we used. I had to try to keep it simple because the first order of the day is to make the caregiver accountable as their own best boss and their own best and worst employee. They have to be accountable for their marketing and, I mean, absolutely everything. They can't plan upon an extra board bailing them out. So I said, first order of the day, would you be able to live on $2,000 a month? And a 40-hour work week brings it to 1250 an hour, which is what we started with. Over the last 2 years, we've gone up 50 cents a year. But I said, we're not going to gouge the client. The whole point here is that the client can afford us and we can afford the cost of living. And that's how we determined what the price was.
That's just about the same price that they would get if they were working for an agency anyway, or pretty close to it, right?
The agency tends to pay $9.50, $10, or
Oh my
$11 an
gosh.
hour on average in Florida. On
Really?
average.
What's minimum wage in Florida?
And I think it's seven something.
Oh my gosh.
Well,
And
Florida
we
is
all
another
know,
planet.
it's very
It
cheap to
is.
live in Florida, right? I'm
Well,
being
it
sarcastic, but it is.
No, it is.
No.
Really?
It can be.
Why is that?
No.
She disagrees.
I guess.
For us, the most important thing here, again, is when we're called out by agencies, the agency is on average earning $5 an hour from us, which of course the client is paying. And we wanted to bring it a little cheaper than the agency, but a little more than we were earning, so both parties come to an agreeable amount.
So were you saying agencies come to you
Oh,
from?
no.
Oh, okay.
It's competition.
Yes, they are in competition.
They probably don't like you, even though we should all like each other. We're in the same boat.
Now, are all of the people, I'm assuming women, do you have any men working for you? That's another question.
Well, yes, and I make sure that we're legally correct. They're working for themselves as private
Independent
duty caregivers
contractors,
in
yeah.
independent contractor. That's right.
And
And
what training do they have, if any, or are they more companions than
okay, we have people
any?
who are working, they're working for the agencies, so they're already the employees with level two background checks. CEUs must be current. They must have their license or certificate, malpractice insurance. These are the same employees that work for agencies.
How did you come up with this idea of doing this? I mean, that's brilliant.
I wanted more money, was the original objective. It was
So
the
you
original
make some
objective.
money too, then.
If I find my own clients, I make a little more than the agency pays. And I had it was a moral issue. I didn't like the way caregivers out here were being paid for living. I thought it should be illegal. So then I went off on my own and said, that's it, I'm finding my own clients.
How are they paid? You said you didn't like it.
An agency will pay a caregiver for a live-in shift. Am I allowed to mention numbers or figures?
Yes, just don't mention names.
Okay, all right. It used to be on average $120, which I do believe has now gone up to 180, but it's for a 24-hour shift. And it's supposed to be that you're receiving 8 hours of rest, which of course may or may not happen. And I then turned to the agency and said, well, we're missing 4 hours here. If we have 8 hours of rest and you're paying by the hour, which covers 12 hours, well, what about the other 4 hours? What's going on? And they said, nope, that's the law. We can pay you what we want. And I was like, I don't agree. I just don't agree. So that's how it all started.
I understand. Now let's talk about the caregivers themselves. You have implemented some policies to avoid, burnout and stuff like that. I understand one of your rules is don't be a martyr. Explain that.
A lot of now this works for family caregivers as
Right.
well. A lot of caregivers tend to want to throw themselves under the bus. Look at me. I'm doing all this. I'm the one helping you. Oh, I'm so tired. My feet hurt. I can't think straight. And I said, well, you do have a choice. Cut back on your hours. Then, of course, I'm told, well, this won't get done. That won't get done. And I said, then delegate. Pull other people in. Let other people help you. You don't have to be the hero and the martyr. A drowning man can't save another man.
How did they
And
respond to that?
well, we can't afford it. I said, you can if you find your own clients. You can afford it. If you're paid a little more money, then you don't have to work so many hours. That was my
Makes
logic.
sense. Makes sense. That makes sense to you, Adrian?
Yeah, as I'm sort of afraid of asking certain questions because I don't want to muddy the waters.
Yeah, if you don't want to answer, just tell us.
Yeah. So as independent contractors, are they getting 1099s from people that they work for if it's on a long-term basis?
We have clients, three ways so far I've experienced we're being paid. Some of them 1099 us, especially if it might come from a trust fund or a paper trail. There are some that have long-term healthcare insurance.
Sure.
They send out a nurse to spot check us. They spot check our paperwork to make sure we're legal. So then these people, I already have, I don't know if I'm allowed to mention names. We have a CPA here in Ormond Beach. He's accredited. Mm-hmm. He's a lovely man. And he went to school for this, so I know he's doing a better job than I could do.
Yeah.
And last year, he gave me the good news. Did you know that you have $1,000 write-off every year for taking food to the client's house? And I said, dock it. We want that. So it's good to have him on our side. A lot of us go to him. And the other way is, as an independent contractor, we're responsible for our own taxes.
Yes. Yeah. No, because I had a freelance business. And I had this pile of 1099s at the end of the year. So, you know, they say you're working for yourself, but you're really not because you've got 10 bosses, you know.
Right. So, we can have at the end of the year, we can have W-2s from the agencies, 1099s from a private client. And so we just take it all to Michael.
So you have a lot of word of mouth referrals?
Yes.
Yeah, I imagine. And I imagine people are happy.
Well, I've been working for 3.5 years on one street. And as happens, sometimes clients either get better or they pass on. And the word of mouth, I've now been on that street moving down. I'm working my way to the end of the cul-de-sac.
Listen, we're going to take an early break because I want to experiment and see. We're getting a lot of feedback from you, Yvonne, and try that earpiece that we did earlier, and I'll see if it helps. So don't go away. We will be right back.
One arm, one leg, 100 words. Overcoming unbelievable hardships is about Charlene, a stroke survivor. Back in 1996, Charlene was a healthy, normal, very active 52-year-old woman whose amazing talents resemble that of both a Martha Stewart and a Wonder Woman. But all that changed when she suffered a massive stroke that left her severely speech impaired and paralyzed on the right side. Who am I? My name is David. I've had the privilege of being Charlene's husband since 1975. We had a wonderful, fairy tale, storybook-like courtship that culminated in our marriage a year later. Charlene had just come out of a marriage where after 10 years, she received 2 black eyes and a broken nose by her former husband when he came home high on speed. Charlene believed in no second chances of any kind for abuse, so she left. Finding herself all alone in the world with her 5 and 10-year-old daughters, Cynthia Lorraine and Deborah Lynn, she started raising them by herself for the next 2 years. Then fate brought us all together. After falling in love with Charlene, Cindy, and Debbie, our love then produced Rebecca Elizabeth. We had a wonderful, normal life for the next 20 years. But today, things are very different for everyone. One arm, one leg, 100 words, overcoming unbelievable hardships, is the amazing story of a woman's fight to survive all that life had thrown her way. Everyone who knows Charlene is thoroughly amazed at how she lives day by day, month by month, year by year, and with a smile on her face and hope in her heart that everything is going to be okay. Her faith in God is her foundation in this hope, that everything happens for a reason, and what doesn't kill her will make her stronger. She inspires everyone who meets her. Her accomplishments since her stroke are very impressive, often making us normal people look like whiners and complainers. So pick up your copy of One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships today You won't be disappointed. Just hear what best-selling author Lynn Barrington has to say about it. If you think you have it bad, read this book. This is a beautiful, genuine story told from the heart. It's inspiring and easy to read. When you finish this book, you'll be able to look at your concerns in a new light. How about the reaction of 9-time Grammy and Dove Award recipient, the godfather of contemporary gospel Christian music, Andre Crouch? Charlene just won't let the promises of God go, and she has not let her circumstances get in the way of her faith. She's not just a survivor, she's more than a conqueror, as the Bible states. You'll be encouraged by her testimony, regardless of what you're going through. Available everywhere, but if you purchase your copy directly from the author's website, onearmonelegonehundredwords.com, Charlene and David will personally autograph your copy. Enjoy!
And we're back with Adrian Gruberg and Yvonne Dunlap. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yep.
Oh, good. Yep. Adrian? And,
yes.
And everybody can hear me, right?
Yes.
Oh, good. I love it when everything works. So let me ask you, what does it mean, don't be an enabler, Yvonne? For those who don't even know what enabling means.
Some of our clients, or rather the patients, have been rendered into their condition because they've been nursed to death. They've been nursed into disability.
Absolutely.
And if when I come in, my job, if I find the person, the caregiver, is still doing this, whether it's a professional or a family caregiver, if the patient can put toothpaste on his own toothbrush, let him. You know, don't do everything for them. And then a lot of these people who want to nurse them, killing them sweetly with love, I mean, then they'll complain that they're so tired. It's like, then step back. You have to be patient. It takes more time, but let the person do it for themselves if they can.
That's right. And so many caregivers have different styles, you know, like when we were caring for my wife when she first had her stroke, and occupational therapy was there and physical therapy was there and speech therapy. And so, you know, I'm just a logical kind of guy. And my wife had to get out of her wheelchair and stand up and reach for something in the kitchen. I would allow her to do that. And I said, come on, just step on your toes. You know, you're almost there. Whereas her mother would say, no, I'll get it for you. And I said, no, let her do it. You know, I'm not raising an invalid here. And now, as a result of my wonderful habits, because the occupational therapy says, you're doing the right thing. She's not. She's very independent, and she knows the way around the kitchen. And I hardly have to help her with anything. And yet she only has one arm and one leg that works, and she's in a power chair. So absolutely. So her mother in this case would be the quote-unquote enabler, saying, oh, let me get that for you. Oh, no, I don't want you cooking. I'll do the cooking, you know, and stuff like that. So yeah, it can really make you worn out because you've taught the person that they can't do anything and they need to rely exclusively on you. And that's just a recipe for burnout, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Enabling can often be martyrdom and burnout. It's all rolled together in one big ball.
Yes, they're ugly cousins, aren't they?
I mean, it was interesting. The last caregiver that my mother had before she died was a wonderful woman. Her name was Shirley, and she would call me at night in tears because despite the fact that my mother could easily get up and walk around the apartment, and if she wanted to go sit outside and take some sun or sit on their enclosed porch, Shirley could no longer motivate her to do that. And the way she just, you know, I watched a fabulous caregiver just fall apart because the patient who really had the ability to do things no longer had the desire because she'd been babied.
How do we unenable?
The only thing I can do is point it out tactfully. I mean, when there's also family dynamics. And that's, I would say 50% of my job is politically amongst the family is not to step on any toes, because yeah. I'd like to keep my job. I don't want to be fired. So it's really handling things tactfully and bringing awareness to, I just did this with a family. I said, you know, the patient can go to the store with you. Oh, it's quicker if I just go. But now you're taking any sense of purpose away from the patient. Mm. Now the patient will sit there for 10 hours a day going, well, I don't want to live. It's like, oh, no, we're going too far. So be patient and ask the family caregiver or the paid caregiver and say, well, let me take them out. Let me take them. You know, it'll right. give you a break. Let me give them that sense of purpose.
Right. And you can ask them, hey, should I get this brand or that brand? And now they're Absolutely. Actively involved. And I am guilty. I'm going to make a confession now, because I am guilty of constantly, you know, my wife has a wheelchair, and we were fortunate enough to have a handicap van with the lift and everything. And it's got the tie downs. And it's a little work getting her all tied in and everything. And then when I get to the store, I says, you know what, why don't you wait here? And I can go in and get the five things on the list really fast. She goes, no, which is her favorite word. And so I have to remember that it gives her purpose to go in that store, which she loves to do. I did a video about it, and she can shop for 5 hours while everyone else just drops, you know, because my limit is 1 hour. So now I just go into the little power wheelchair and follow her around, because I can't keep up with her otherwise. You know, she just shoom, shoom, shoom. And
well, I have a.
Oh, go ahead. Do that one first.
I was just going to say I have a small confession here, because when I take my. I'm wearing scrubs.
Since we're
I'm in an official.
Okay.
I'm in an official capacity. Obviously, I'm the gentleman's caregiver. And he's looking for a motorized wheel cart. And I said, no, we're going to walk with his uh-huh. walker. And people are looking at me. You see them glancing like, oh, what a mean woman. What a mean caregiver. But he needed the exercise. So my confession is I sometimes look like a sergeant major.
Well, that's what therapists are supposed to look like. You know, when I go to the gym and I have this personal trainer, because, you know, I'm working on my back. And, you know, they push you more than you think you can do. And then, you know, you get better. Otherwise, that's why I got a trainer, because we stop when we feel like stopping. But they say, no, you're not ready to stop. You got to do three. So that's how that works. How about delegation? What can you tell us about delegation? How do you do it? And why do we do it? And why shouldn't we not do it? Double negative.
Well, first of all, burnout. Delegate oh, yeah. so you can survive. A family caregiver may want the role of saving everybody, or they may just not trust anyone else. But there are small tasks that other people can do. Yeah. And one of the things we've started using, oh, I don't know, there's a huge superstore. Am I allowed to say who it is? They deliver.
Sure. Really, who is
Use
that?
Use them. Walmart.
Oh.
Walmart delivers? Really?
Yes.
I guess in Florida. I don't know if that's everywhere.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you can check in. Somebody's got to deliver in California and New York, right?
Right. And if it's over $50 worth, and let me tell you, the pull-ups, the chucks, the paper towels, I mean, there's so many things that you can order from them. It will come to $50 for sure.
How let do you them send them the list? To... Like you fax it to them or something?
Online. You order online.
Oh, you order online.
Do
Which
they have
in
a list
Florida
and you just check
brilliant.
Boxes?
It's just like going to the store. I mean, it's that simple. In fact, you can have
oh,
fun
goodness.
Doing it after hours.
That's a million-dollar idea for me. I don't think she'll let me do it all the time, but at least I can cheat once in a while.
And then that's delegation. Delegate to let somebody else cut the lawn. Pay $15 a month. Let somebody else do it, because you're helping society earn a few pennies. Let the kids come in. There is nothing wrong with young adults learning about caregiving. It's what happens in most
Absolutely.
Societies. So delegate, delegate.
I mean, I started when I was 10.
Wow.
That's why you're so good, Adrian.
Well, my mother just would send me all the way up to Lebanon Hospital in the Bronx. My mother had been visiting her mother during the week, and here was the weekend, so it was my turn to go up. And this is when there was still oxygen tents, so it was a little scary till I got used to that, but
That's
I
great
just did
advice.
it.
So, how do you tactfully delegate without sounding like you're just lazy and putting a job on somebody else? And what do you do if they say, "Well, I don't want to do that, you do it."
Well, I've just been hired, brand new shift. I'm on, they actually need 7 12s, and that covers two subjects actually. That a lot of caregivers will try to grab all that. They want the money, they'll grab them all. And I say, no, first of all, we want to share it between our community. We all advertise, even when we're hired, we're all advertising. And if you catch flu, get the cold, you can't take that to your client. So you have to have a crew with every new client. You just sacrifice a little. Most of us have one or two clients where we have one foot in two camps. And then the next thing is the lady I'm taking over from, she needs 4 to 6 weeks. She's burned out. She's been doing 24/7 for 6 months, and she is so frayed. She finally hired us in. Actually, she hired an agency, not saying who, and didn't like the caregivers because they were kind of eh. And I said, we're responsible. So we're coming in and we're taking over. And I used to work for that agency. So I'm like, so we've taken over. And the reason she's so frayed is because she did everything. And at this point, I said, you need to delegate. Your family can see that you're on the verge of a nervous breakdown. And when family members can see how much this person has done, they don't mind jumping in with a little volunteer here and a little volunteer there, so long as you don't put the whole cart on their shoulders. And then they feel like, hey, I've done something. I feel useful. And that often makes a person feel better if they're a little bit useful.
You have such a happy spirit and such an encouraging smile, and you just make people feel like everything's gonna be okay. Even if they know it's not, you can convince them just with that smile. There's something about you. You have a gift.
Thank you. That is my halo slipping. Hold on.
Am I the first one, the only one who's ever said that?
No, actually, I've been when there's been a misunderstanding with families, I usually go in and sort it out like a troubleshooter
The
and bring it back
peacemaker.
to, yes, that I've been more known as a peacemaker,
Oh, world
not
needs
so much
more
an angel.
peacemakers. So how do we keep it simple and streamlined? All right, the KISS, keep it
Well,
simple, stupid. Or keep it simple, streamlined. That's KISS also.
it's using all of those, all of the things I said, like delegating and don't be a martyr, don't try to overload yourself, cut back. But here I have, this is what I write down for our caregivers on the Facebook page. Oh, and that Facebook page is a newsletter for us. And then suddenly we had other people, like there's a first responders, some nurses, an autistic teacher. She's not autistic, she teaches autistic children. And we have different kinds of caregivers come into that now. But on there, I put stay active, because if you just break away from the job, go out, take a kayak out, rent one. Do something far away from your job, something completely different. Stay active. Hydrate. Most of us don't have time to think of ourselves anymore. Lemon water, drink it before you put your feet on the ground in the morning. You need to stay hydrated. Fuel. Think about what you're eating. If you're on to donuts and coffee, oops, guilty. But if you're on to, if you put crap in, you're going to get crap out. Sleep. Have a regime for sleep and be strict about it. Don't let people keep disturbing you. Black out the windows. Do whatever it takes to sleep. And this doesn't seem like it's very important. Wash your hands. Doesn't that sound silly? But we pick up a lot of viruses because we're run down. Burnout is run down, and you're most likely to get flu or the cold or something from your client like MRSA. I mean, you need to wash your hands all the time, as well as the other things.
Does it help to have that sanitizer alcohol stuff?
I don't use it. Oh, no, I do when I go shopping to Walmart. I take my own Lysol wipes and I wipe the handles because it's a Petri dish.
When they're not delivering. Don't be like the cell phone that is flashing at you at 1%, you know, danger, danger. Which I am not.
But that keep it simple.
Doing. Yes, that's wonderful.
Keep it simple is actually really simple, and they're good habits to get into.
It is. You are so wonderful. I'm so glad I met you. You're just making it so simple. And
can
what does
we
it
hug?
Mean? Okay, yes, let's hug. Group hug. So do some people actually let their disabilities define who they are? You know, I mean, some people let their job define who they are. I mean, what's your opinion on that?
Absolutely. Yes, some people are 100%. I'm on disability. This is who I am. I can't. Can you do it for me? And then with these people, especially if they happen to be Christian, it really helps. But I use Nick Vujicic as an example. He has no arms, no legs, and he swims, and he has a beautiful, I think, Hawaiian wife. He's got a baby. And I said, how can you let somebody like that, who is a brilliant role model, how can you look at that and say you can't do as much? You need to get up off the self-pity cushion and don't let it define you. You're able. For instance, if you can't walk, exercise your arms. If you're not so good at that, then lay down in bed and do those PT exercises that they gave you, because everyone just tends to let it go. But disability can be like something you sink into and never get out of again.
Wow. Advice. Anything to add to that, Adrian, before we go to a break?
I know people who've been on disability that thrive on being on disability, and it's really very sad. They just love the excuse to do nothing.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll be right back. We're going to take another break, so don't go away.
Anytime we suffer loss, we grieve. And a lot of people don't realize what even the grief process is. But it could be 5 to 7 steps, ranging from denial, I don't believe this is happening, anger, oh my gosh, I'm so upset this is happening, to a form of bargaining, how can I get out of this, to depression, which is a very serious thing because that often leads to suicide. And then finally, after you realize you have no more control over your situation and you're totally okay with the new normal that it brings, that wonderful, wonderful place called acceptance.
Being a caregiver takes a special person with passion and compassion. But even you can become a little burned out from time to time. The Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Show was developed to help you overcome obstacles, adversity, and burnout, as well as just having a place to rest, relax, and recharge your batteries. We've all been there, and you're not alone. Now, you can take the Caregiver's Caregiver with you. Get the top 25 radio shows in convenient form that plugs right into your USB car stereo or computer. Learn the techniques, tips, and encouragement we all need to better handle the day-to-day challenges. For around $1 per show, just $29.77, get the credit card-sized USB card to have with you anytime you need a caregiver's pick-me-up. Just go to DaveTheCaregiversCaregiver.com and order yours today. Go to DaveTheCaregiversCaregiver.com now. Consider it an investment in you and ultimately an investment in them.
And we're back with Adrian Gruberg and our guest, Yvonne Dunlap, drinking her tea, her tea. British tea, because it's tea time. It's so fun talking to you. You are so wise, and thanks for sharing your wisdom, which came originally from the other side of the world, and now us Americans can benefit.
There are lots of carers on the caregiver space. We get a lot of people from Great Britain.
Really?
Yeah.
And they call themselves carers.
Yes.
Well, that's just like them. So there's a lot of drama in caregivers' world, isn't there? Drama?
Yes.
Drama, anybody?
Yes. A lot of drama. We try to, I'm going to borrow some of the rules from my previous job. And that is, at the front door, you flip a switch and you turn it off. Your client, your patients don't want to hear about your aching back or your financial problems. So we try to just flip the switch. And if you don't like the team member, it has nothing to do with it. You don't have to like your patient. Like has nothing to do with it. Just do the job, be compassionate, and go home, and don't take it home with you, if that makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. It's not always easy to turn that off, though.
No, but I was in Las Vegas for 20 years, and I learned a lot of my, bless you, I learned a lot of my values from the corporate world that taught me. And The most important thing is your patient, their quality of life. So you just have to be professional. If you don't like somebody, you don't have to like anyone. No one's telling you, no one's paying you to like them. You have to do your job and focus on what you're doing. And then cut it off when you leave. Don't take drama, politics, backstabbing, undermining. None of this has its place in caregiving.
What, may I ask, do you do to translate that when it comes to family?
Again, family politics, all you can do is suggest, maybe guide. You cannot undo generations of politics when there's uncles and aunties, right, and mums and dads and siblings, but you can make suggestions that might make the job a little easier for each one. Mm-hmm. But keep the emotional side out of it. Just focus on doing the job.
Yeah, that's
good. It doesn't sound too cold.
It doesn't sound impossible to do either. I know that I would switch off my big issues and say, look, I'm here to do this, and I'll do it because I said I would. And that much would sort of stay with me. But then you had all the stuff that was coming from other people, and
right,
I wasn't getting paid. So I had to really just count to 10 constantly.
Yeah. Constantly. It can be draining for a paid caregiver too. Draining when there's emotional, yeah, you're in emotional turmoil. You go home going, whew. And uh-huh, I joked with another caregiver and said, just be thankful, dear, you're not married to them. And so we go home and let it go.
Yep.
And how important is just, you know, being funny and laughing? And, you know, the Bible says that laughter is good for the bones. But just to make light of things, it really changes the whole situation. And it's contagious, isn't it?
I think laughter is food for the soul. Laughter can, I think it's healing. If you can laugh at something, you can't be angry at it at the same time. Well, I don't know anyone who can still remain angry when they're laughing. So it can diffuse tense situations, a joke at the right moment. But when you're at home, again, for the caregivers, make sure you monitor what's going into on your media. Don't be watching soap operas if they're full of drama. Don't listen to depressing music. Watch comedy. Watch stand-up comedy. Have a laugh to yourself at home, away from work.
That's great advice.
That's very good advice. Now the thing that people want to get away from is the news. So
some would argue that the news is very funny, you know.
Yeah, well, it's sick comedy.
I haven't seen the news or sat down to watch it, mainly because my shifts are a little askew, but I haven't watched the news since before Trump became president. Mm. I know I'm going to hear about it. I don't have to hear about it that minute.
That's so true.
God bless you. You are a saint. I wish I could just turn it off. I seem to be addicted to it. Terrible.
Me too.
Netflix.
Yes. Binge watching.
I like that too.
Do you watch Peaky Blinders?
I don't know what that is.
Peaky Blinders is British. I'm into so many British shows. It's amazing. They keep me going.
No, I haven't. I haven't seen that one. No. Doc Martin is one of my favorites.
Oh, yes.
Doc Martin.
And of course, praying and meditating helps too, right?
Yes.
Again, with our community, we advertise strongly that we respect diversity. Absolutely. I mean, I live in the Bible Belt, mm-hmm. but we have people who are, I mean, they may or may not have faith. Then in that case, meditation. Meditation yes. is good for you. And if you do have faith, it doesn't have to be this God, that God, or that God.
Right.
Have a higher power. To spend some time alone and focus is paramount. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Even if it's a few seconds a day.
I mean, that's one of the things that I've written about on the site. Even if it's just a chair in a corner of your apartment, you get that one little piece of space for yourself and make it yours and nobody else's, and have it set a mood so that you can just sit down there and it's your place of calm, and it helps a lot.
I found a time for everybody that should work for everybody. I've been really concentrating on drinking a glass of lemon water as soon as I wake up.
Huh.
And nobody bothers me. It's right there on the bedside, so it's ready for me. And as I drink that first thing in the morning, before my feet touch the ground, I take those few moments to adjust, to say, thank you, it's really cool, get my head straight. Mm-hmm. And for those few, what does it take? 3 minutes? While I'm drinking the water, and that's my first meditation, even though it's only a few minutes.
Well, this is so fun. I'm having fun just doing this, but the time is getting away from us, and can't believe how fast this hour has gone. Why don't you give us your contact information, Yvonne, how someone can get a hold of you, or let's say they wanted to start what you're doing in a different part of the country.
Ah, how about my telephone number? Would that be handy?
Don't mind the ringing off the hook, yeah.
It's not going to ring off the hook, but it's published. It's a published number. It's
okay.
386. The 386 is the area code, 675-3301.
Okay. Do you have an email?
No, I don't use an email because... because we've received a lot of scamming. People have been trying to get us to email them back about jobs that don't exist. And so one of the ways we protect ourselves, We say, if you really are serious about a job, we couldn't interview in an email. You'll have to call us and we have to meet you. Yes. So the email really is superfluous. Mm-hmm. So no email, sorry. But I have the Facebook page,
what
which
is
Ormond's, Ormond's Best Caregivers. Not very humble, is it?
That's O-R-M-O-N-D-S, Ormond's.
Got it, yes. Yes.
Best
Caregivers.
Caregivers with an S. Ormond's. Ormond's Best Caregiver. Ormond's is an S ending in also, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And Adrian, how do we get a hold of you?
It's Adrian, A-D-R-I-E-N-N-E, at thecaregiverspace.org. And that's the website. That's Adrian.
Awesome.
May get rid of Adrian, but thecaregiverspace.org.
May I tell you, the caregiver space encouraged me to no end when I first started doing this. I love the caregiver space.
I'm so glad. I love that. Thank you so much.
Thank
the
you.
That's wonderful.
Well, have a wonderful day, and thank you so much for tuning in. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Show. Make sure you tune in every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time and anytime afterwards on podcast to catch more of Dave and his tips to caregivers on avoiding burnout and surviving the grief process right here on the Worldwide Block Talk Radio Network. Goodbye.